Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord God, just for being our God. We thank you, Lord God, for a day that you have made. We are determined to rejoice and be glad in it. We honor your presence and your anointing and your power in this place. We ask, Lord God, that you continue on to bless us as we move forward, Lord God, to receive a word from you, a rhema word, a powerful word, an anointing word, a word that is for our right now situation, that we can walk in deliverance, healing, and power when we leave this place today, that we can command with our voice and create an atmosphere where victory will proceed throughout our lives and defeat has been done to the devil. We proclaim you because you are our victory in this place. We rejoice in you and in the happiness that you have presented to us. And the people of God say amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. On your way to your seat, turn to a very familiar text when it comes to preaching and teaching about the end time. Turn to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Please, you're going to have to pardon my voice today. As you can see, it ain't too much left in it. Trust me, it's not too much left in it. And that's a good thing, ain't it, V? Mm-hmm. What are you laughing for? Because you know I ain't going to preach long or something. There's power. Don't make me go call on my help, Nene. Because I can still preach with no voice now. Nene like, please, Lord, please. You know, I done had a very awesome week, and it's been really good week for me. I done seen God manifest himself in so many ways, from the taking of a beautiful loved one to glory, to just men fellowshipping, to a peace conference, to just seeing where he wants to go and what he is doing. And I thank God for an opportunity to be back home. You know, it was kind of unique. He wanted everybody to stay and leave this morning. That wasn't even on my mindset at the men conference. I wanted to get home to my assignment, to my house. You know, you can go cook dinner for anybody else, but when you don't cook dinner for your own house, there's a problem. And you can't cause your people to starve for somebody else to be fed. Amen. This is my heart. And I thank God for y'all allowing me to be y'all pastor another year. And I've really been laying with God a lot this week, and we're going to retool up for our 10th year next year. We met a gentleman that was there that does conferences, and he used to be in a hotel and beverage and hospitality, yes. And he's been in there for 30 years. He know all the big wigs, and he going to do our conference for us and set it up for $0. We just got to give him our budget, and he's going to do all the contacting and everything for me. You know, God placed you. When you do the work of the Lord, he placed people around you that, Pastor, I got you. That's what he told me. I got you. That's what I do. I started a business. He said, I've been in the industry for 30 years, and I quit. This is what I want to do. He said, you don't have to pay me a dime. He said, because the hotels, they pays me for doing this. I never knew that. They get paid by the hotels and the conference centers when you get people to do that, they double dipping. They charging you and they getting paid by somebody else. So I thank God for that. So I'm gonna hook y'all up with him and we're gonna go forth with that. We got some great things we trying to do in this ministry next year. Our focus next year and our theme next year is simply what y'all praying about next month, families. Let me explain this to everybody in here. If it ain't about the family, the city is not going to do it. We are rebuilding the families next year. We're going to have, everything is about just internally with us and those that comes to the ministry. We're going to do a lot of fellowshipping, a lot of getaways. Now that I got him on board, we're going to use him to death. He's going to get tired of seeing me. We're going to spend money. We're going to spend money on families. Because I'm telling you, that's where the church and how the church started. That's has where the church need to be and where the church is going. It's families. So doing all these conferences with people and men's retreat and women's retreat is not where we're going. I'm telling y'all. We're gearing in to bring families in. We're going to gear in to bring a family atmosphere into this ministry where it's the kids going to be well taken care of. The single moms are not going to feel left out. The single dads going to get the help they need. The marriage couples, their lives is going to be rejuvenated and be stronger. Amen? That's where we're going in this ministry. But I really been laying before God, and I really believe that I do have a short end time word today. And that's my Nae-Nae. My Nae-Nae, she's a mess. So we're going to start reading at the 24th chapter and the third verse. When you have it, say amen. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciple came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow. Somebody say, just the start of it. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Look at somebody and say, I know you're going through. Nothing I can do about you going through. All you have to do is endure. You ain't finished yet. Look at him again. Because the word says you have to endure to be saved. Give me about 15 minutes and let me just talk to you, and we're going to be good. You know, I went on a men's retreat this weekend, and I've been really seeing a lot of things. And it's a dangerous thing for me to sit around in an idle state inside church services because I get to looking at people and seeing things, and it's so funny. I got up and I walked outside at this men's conference. I said, Lord, this is just not right. Something is just not right. It's just not what it used to be. Deacon can tell me. It's we trying, but something is not right. And God just spoke to me and said that everybody is missing what's got to happen. I'm really, truly beginning to understand that mankind need to have in control,
or need to be in control or feel like they are in control of situations and circumstances. We really don't want to know what the word is saying about our situation. We really don't want no one to preach to us about suffering and going through. We want one statement, one word to change our lives. We really are not in tune with what God wants and God is saying. I'm really beginning to see that folks that's in church are not as strong as all of us think they are. The ones that we was looking up to that thought that they had the answer in the word really are missing God right now. And I'm really beginning to see that we as people got to check ourselves, reevaluate ourselves, and fall in line with God. I love that with my sister Gail and where she's going. My spirit is rejoicing, but my fleshly being, humanity, missed her. Even this morning when they started singing that song, I had a tear that brewed up on the inside of me. But then God sit there and smacked me in my face. Literally, I got spirit pimp slapped by God this morning. Bah! What's wrong with you, Pastor? Do you understand where she's at? How selfish is it for you to want to see her in her present condition one more Sunday when I have her at a place where she is just... I thank God that he did do that and he allowed me to get to the situation where I missed her, because now I understand what my message is truly about. Is that we are on one page and God is on another. We looking for this miracle on this earthly realm and God's looking for us to endure and go through some more. We are getting frustrated because I don't have the word for your situation, but I really do. I have the word to tell you that you got to stay in it, but you want me to tell you that you got to come out. So there's a battle with you and me, and that's why you got empty chairs beside you, because some folks want to go to a church this morning that's going to tell them a lie. God is not raising up people anymore that they just got a name and claiming spirit. Y'all pray for me. He wants people to endure, and there's a reason why we are enduring. First and foremost, it's the end time. Go get me some orange juice or something. It's the end time. He said that you would hear rumors of wars, earthquakes, famine. Have we heard that? Do you see that? In places that it's not supposed to be. But this is what he said. It's the beginning of the sorrow that you have to. I'm fed up. I told them at the men's retreat. I'm fed up with these. God, I can't say it totally like I said it there because some of y'all ain't going to want to be next week. I'm fed up with these men that's not true men. I'm fed up with folks that allow people to take them away from God. Wow. I'm fed up with folks that's using excuses of other folks and what they have done to them for them to stay home. I'm fed up. My relationship with God has nothing to do with you. You can talk about me all you want to. I don't care what you do to me. It doesn't matter, because my relationship with God is a personal relationship. If she's gone tomorrow, I'm still going to be here next Sunday. Because my relationship is not determined whether she's here or not here. But there's a bunch of wussies in church that's looking for excuses. And I didn't use the word wussy. I use a P word. That's looking for excuses for them not to be here. And the problem that's happening is they using you and you feeling so convicted. Now you all twisted and upset because you feel like you're running somebody from church. He said nations shall hate nations. Families should go against And it's all supposed to. Why? To see if you're going to. Let me let that meditate. So everything is happening to you to see if you're going to stay in this ministry, stay in God, and stay on the walk. He never said victory or defeat is coming your way. What he's saying is you are in control of your destiny if you only. So you can't blame me. You can't blame Mike. Can't blame Lady Marguerite. Can't blame Nana because she talked about you. Can't blame Annette because she didn't pick you up for church that Sunday. All of that happened for a reason. And that reason is see if you were going to stick with the plan and endure, or you're going to use it as an excuse to continue on the run from what God has called you to do and to be. We ain't even got to the problem yet. So we got all of these issues kicking with me. The economy is twisted. People like up at the Navy Yard is doing what God has called them to do. That's why I can't get with folks on new prayer visuals. It's supposed to happen. Everything in the Middle East is supposed to be going on. That's the beginning. Now, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, to kill you, and you should be hated of all nations for my. Let's remove the word nation, because this word nation inside the scripture is dealing with families or churches of today's generation. Got me? The city is supposed to be hated. I love what a preacher said. He said it probably about the best that anybody could say. He said that we carry two aromas to the people. He said one is a sweet aroma and one is the stench of death. When you come to people, either they going to accept the sweet aroma or that sweet aroma to them becomes death. It's not you. It's how they receiving you. The word either can be enlightenment to you or condemnment to you. It can either help you or judge you or put you to death. It's not me who's doing this. It's how you accepting the word. I didn't offend you. The word offended you. It's because you are in an offense state to God. So really, you offended your own self by not doing what the word told you to do. That's why you're sitting there mad. Because you know right and you choose to do wrong. You upset. Because you heard the truth and you ignored it. Now you're in a dilemma where all you can see is hell gates in your pathway. And you upset with yourself. So you are throwing your hatred with this on the inside of you on everybody. And you project it to everybody come your way. And the moment I'm trying to give you light, you disappointed because you missed it. You'd rather have death. I ain't got time to play with you no more. All of this is supposed to happen because sorrow has to come. You have to be a place where childbirth or to be at a place where trials of pain, intolerable anguish, or consuming grief come in your life in order for you to get to the next level. I learned this weekend, and I really understand, when your body tired, you ain't got time for mess. When you sick and tired, you want to cut through all the masquerade, all the junk, and you need to hear a word from God according to, for your situation. You ain't got time. So you really need to hear a word from God. When you really need to hear a word from God, you will place yourself in a position to receive. But the problem is, you still have one thing that is holding you back from receiving it, and that is your own disappointment or failure mentality that you know that you done messed up. It's a give up mentality. It's what I called and talked about yesterday. It's the Judas mentality. It's the spirit of heaviness that or disappointment that's in your life because you think you made a grave mistake because you don't understand salvation. It's destroying you. All of this is supposed to happen. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I ain't even going to deal with that. Seriously, I'm tired of dealing with false prophets because, you know, we putting the blame on false prophets. They supposed to be here. The scripture clearly said, my sheep knows my voice. And another one, they... Is you the one is to blame for listening to some joker that tickled your ears instead of the real word that you're supposed to know for your... So if somebody come up in here and you want to follow them, don't blame me. Don't blame him. My sheep should know, I'm going to say it again, know my voice, and another one, they will not. So the fault is you ain't in the word. That was Wednesday night message. Watch this. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall. That's what's happening in the church. God really blessed me with this because I started feeling bad. It's not my fault why these chairs are no. It's not your fault why these chairs. It's not none of our fault that these chairs are not packed with individuals. It's because they so dwelled in iniquity, we give them freedom for a moment, but they turn it back and go into their old ways because they refuse to come out of the sinful nature that they're in. What do? You cannot force folks to have salvation. And, Pastor, you need to. No, I can't anymore. Trust me, I can't go back and try to beg folks to come to the ministry. Because they're only doing it because I asked them to. If you can't love God for yourself, if you don't want this walk for yourself, then you become a distraction to the plan. All we can do is when God tells us to speak a word, speak it, walk away. And I'm beginning to understand that God used people that they are not close to speak a word. Because if I were to go, they're going to do it because Pastor and First Lady say. I'm beginning to understand some folks really don't want righteousness. For a season, they want to feel good about what they have done wrong in their lives. But he that, come on, this word endure means to continue to exist in the same state or condition. If you stay here. How many of y'all ready to rejoice with me? You ready to rejoice with me? Or you just not a shouted message? How many of y'all in here has been offended by somebody in here? You better, but yet you stay here, then the person that offended you in here doesn't bother you in here. Can you raise your hand? What was the saving grace factor? You what? Stayed here, endured, you continue. God, you didn't give up. You didn't run away. Then you found out that that person was actually, you know what they did? Say it strong. Wow, I was going to run, leave my purpose, leave where I've been called to for it. I really want to, can I talk like I want to talk today? For this person that their only objective in life is to cause havoc and problems to individuals. Or they were so immature that they didn't know what they was doing. Number two, you ready? The word endure means to experience pain and suffering for a long time. Hold on. I do you a disservice if I stop right there. Capitalize this next word, patiently.
That was the twist of the knife.
You just can't endure. You got to be patient in your endurance of it. It's good teaching here. That's how you become happy in Jesus when you're going through. Because when you're patient about God performing that which he said for you, you really don't look. Anybody ever was a child, or maybe that's not a good analogy, but I don't know, because we all didn't believe in Santa Claus, so, you know. But, you know, kids, you know, come sometimes that, you know, you impatient about something. I remember when it's time to go somewhere and somebody wasn't there, and you're always looking out the window, looking out the window, looking out of the window to see if they pulled up. Then you get frustrated because you say, what? We're going to be late. You're looking at the clock. You're doing this. And then you upset with them because they should have been here. Why ain't they here yet? Now, by the time they get here, they may be a few minutes late. You all twisted up. Any of y'all ever been like that? When you like that, you are not enjoying the moment. You're not at a good place. Because if it was, God would have told you that they had a flat tire. Our problem in our endurings that is our attitude towards the selfishness that we wanted when we wanted, how we wanted, that we can become hysterical. And then when God sends somebody in your life to bring peace, you reject them because they're not hysterical with you. You want them to quit with you and get upset with you and frustrated with you. And when they don't, then you got a problem with them, because you care, you feel that they don't care about what you're going through. Endurance takes stability. Endurance takes patience. This is where you get real men that is good, because they become patient. They move slow, but females get a little impatient, they want to move quickly. Where a man sees the long term, where the female sees what? Right now. That's why marriage is supposed to be good for each other, because y'all bring that medium where you're not slowful, but you're right on what? Go to 2 Corinthians, and I got about 4 scriptures and I'm done. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. You can start with the 3rd verse.
Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
Keep on.
Who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble.
That's it. That's the saving grace. You want to know why you're enduring it? You got to stay till the end. It's a schooling. You cannot teach unless you have a degree in teaching the subject that you have studied. And that what you have to endure is just that you have to finish it. So you can be a professor to teach somebody else that's going to go through after you. So there's no excuse for you to get upset with anybody because you did not pass the course. You were supposed to be there to teach them through, because we're not enduring till the end. We're not getting the comfort from God, because the comfort from God is given unto us to comfort others. It's a flow. And if you want to dam up the comfort movement of God, he chooses not to give you any. He's going to give it to somebody else that's going to cause it to flow to somebody else. He already knows what your heart is going to present out. So you can't fool him by saying that, Lord, if you give, bless me and help me do this, I'm going to help somebody else. He don't not look on the out of appearance. He looking at the heart. He already know your heart is a selfish heart. Y'all can say what you want to say. This is good teaching. And this is what y'all going to start getting. Let's go.
By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
Yeah. It's a flow. The reason why you're not receiving comfort in your tribulation because you're not comforting others. Let's go.
For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ.
Keep on.
And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation.
In other words, you are in control of your own destiny. So if they leave and they're not here, it's really not Roosevelt's fault. It's that the people didn't really want this movement like it needs to be moved inside our lives. So if folks don't show up, we cannot be so distraught because really they was looking for an excuse. Keep on so I can finish this.
And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation.
That's the hope. If you're going to endure the suffering, you are going to be consoled through it for Christ's sake. You're going to be comforted. It's a decree. If you're going to go through, God promised you that if you endure till the end, I'll make it comfortable for you during your endurance. If you're patient, then when you get to the end, I'll reward you for your endurance. I love God because he put it always back on. Come on.
For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which come to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life.
Come on.
But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead.
Oh, this give me my help right now. The problem is right here. The reason why you are in a situation that you can't endure because you're trusting in yourself. The problem is you think this is about you and your own power to endure, your own ability to get through this. It ain't about you. And when you come to the conclusion in your own being that it's not about you, then you'll totally turn yourself over to God and you'll be happy in Jesus. You'll love God and you'll totally lean on him. It ain't about you having a job to pay your bills. It ain't about you finding your own peace in a man, a woman, or a friend. It's about you totally depending on God while you're going through your trials and tribulation. He's trying to wake you up because you are a control freak. And when you're not in control, you throw off anger to everybody that's next to you because you need to be in control, my precious. The sad part about it, you are killing all of us and you won't turn loose the reins. How are you killing us? Because you're supposed to go through to help the next man. And you ain't enduring it and you ain't being successful. And everybody that's falling behind you are dying with you. You are on the bus. You are the bus driver. And you got kids on the bus with you that you got to drive to school. If you fall asleep behind the wheel because you was out partying all night long, everybody dies. But the problem is you don't care about the kids on the bus. You want to have your fun and try to do it by yourself.
Who delivered us from so great a death and doeth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver
us. You don't trust God to deliver you. You don't trust God to bring you through. It ain't even about being married to your husband or your wives. It ain't about nothing else but God. If God is able to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, there's nothing more important out of life. He can take and change anything in minds. Do y'all really understand that? Have y'all actually took with the words that I just said and regurgitated in your spirit? Did you really understand that there was a nation full of people dying and he sent one man that walked this earth around without sin for 30 some odd years, that it was all predicated on whether he sinned or not. Every day for 24 hours, 7 days a week, he was tempted by the devil, but yet without sin. It was an impossible task for him to do. But if God can orchestrate that movement and cause a whole nation to come unto repentance underneath the name of Jesus Christ, how much more can he do for my situation? Look at somebody and say, my situation ain't big enough for God. But what he wants from you is for you to hold on and wait a moment. Show the devil that you trust in him. It ain't about you. There's people just constantly want to give up and don't care who they dragging down with them. I made my mind up a long time ago. Future Minister Dyke. Oh, you're supposed to hit a note on that one. There you go. I made my mind up. When I was locked up in that jail and nobody except for my family came to see me, that something clicked on the inside of me. It made me reevaluate things in my life. And I realized that God was there for me every day. When he hold off the enemy for me, when he placed me in a pathway that I could succeed. I got to a place where I stopped being anxious about getting out. And I just wanted to learn of him and love him. There's a new movement going to walk into this ministry. And I'm expressing this to y'all. I'm going to give you a hint of the future. Starting next year, this ministry is going to blossom and grow like nobody else could ever understand or comprehend. Listen to this. Not with people that's coming to church for you or me, but for people that's coming to the city for God. Sister Janice, when you're weak, you ain't gonna have to worry about whether somebody got your back. We're gonna have rows of them just waiting to help out. We ain't gonna have to worry about us struggling to deal with folks and what and who or which side of their personality or how many. Y'all don't deal with it. You know what I'm talking. The one that is Glenn or is Ben or Ben 10, or like my man says, they transform on you. After you say one word, y'all don't deal with those. They what you one moment, and the minute you say something, they go, and they change right before your eyes. You be like, okay, hallelujah to you too. You want to know why? Point to the person next to you. You say, you want to know why? Say, because you're going to get it together. And you're going to endure this so you can help them endure theirs.
Father God, we'd like to thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to just be here, to hear your word, to gain revelation, to understand that which you need us to have to be successful Christians into your walk. Continue to look over, guide us, and lead us into our future that we may obtain the destiny that you have purposed into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.